Good morning. The scripture reading for this morning, it's found in the Old Testament, and it's the 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in the high favor with his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man thought a mighty warrior suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans in one of their raids had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel. And she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to keep up a quarrel with me." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana, Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. When he returned to the men of God, he and all his company, he came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant." This is the word of the Lord. So when we were at the meeting trying to figure out what passage we were going to preach in all the different churches, we decided to do pulpit exchange. They gave us 2 choices, and I said, "Well, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to take Old Testament, you know." But this is a really very good lesson for a World Communion Sunday. So let us pray. Almighty God, give us ears to hear your story and these words of Scripture. Give us eyes to see your story and the faces of those that surround us. And give us faith enough that by your grace, we might serve you until the end of our days. Amen. So for those who don't know me, I'm Amy Mendez, and I've been at the Presbytery as a staff for 13 years. Can you believe? I only came here as 3 months. No, 3 years, 3 years, I said. 3 years, Amy. It's okay, I go 3 years. And then 3 years became 6 years. 6 years, 9 years. I go, okay, okay, okay. But it's been really a lot of excitement in the Presbytery, working and really starting new churches. So we have Vietnamese, we have Myanmar group, we have Africans, we have Hispanic. So we have all these new worshiping communities that are just percolating in our Denver Presbytery. And the reason why I came to the Presbytery at Denver is because they said, Amy, we wanted to start a Hispanic ministry. But what happened is that it not only started Hispanic, but all these languages. And so it's so enriching to be able to preach in those churches having a translator. And I told Cody, I promise I won't preach in Spanish. And he said, that's a good thing, Amy. So World Communion, we as Presbyterians have been celebrating this wonderful Sunday since 1936. So today, World Communion Sunday, it's celebrated around the world, demonstrating that the church founded in Jesus Christ peacefully shared God's giving goods in the world, increasingly with a lot of poverty and chaos, and God is with us. So the scripture reading for this morning reminds us that God upholds all of us, regarding faith, creed, color, language, accents. God is our God. In this passage, God's grace touches and deals with a foreigner, an Aramean soldier, a Syrian army man, with all this pompous and all this incredible name. Naaman had everything. He had a position, he had a status, he had fame, he had success. But he also had leprosy. His illness has spoiled everything, like illnesses does in all of us. With leprosy, the rest matters very little or to nothing, because this illness was incurable. He had a need for healing. The author of 2 Kings describes Naaman as a man of a good life, a great man in the sight of his master, the king. Highly regarded him, gained many victories, and it was a valiant soldier. Naaman, besides of being a great man, had a great reputation, great capability, great courage, as we hear the message of the children. In all these accomplishments, he was a man with leprosy. And the author ends the trail of these accolades stating, and he suffered from leprosy. And I was reading several books about what really was leprosy and how people dealt with leprosy in the Old Testament. And sometimes it's really sad that, you know, these illnesses, instead of dealing with them, people were put in caves, separated from all that were healthy, and they were not allowed to even get close to family or friends or anybody. Right in the margins, right out there. So they were considered like people walking like dead. Naaman needed a miracle. to cure this leprosy. So this, the story goes on to say that when he went seeking for God's help through the prophet of Israel, in a first glance, the powerful man seeking God for a healing miracle, but when we read closer at the scripture, the more we look at it, it's God reaching out to him. The author says that God had given him his victories and battles and all of that, but the battle of his health was just completely out of his hands. He was a great man in the sight of the master, highly regarded, because through him, the Lord had given him victories in many countries. His reputation was given by God because his successes were given by God. God's grace was this man, and God showed him favor. And then we see another God's sovereign act. A young Israelite girl was captured in one of those Aramean raids, the scripture says, and she ended up being the servant for Naaman's wife. This girl became critical, the bridge, the connector for Naaman to be introduced to the prophet of God in Samaria. This week, I was in a conference in San Diego, the Stewardship Kaleidoscope. It's an event that we had almost 301 people, and I was part of the team working with the worshiping team, putting together a worship service for this huge event. One of our speakers is a prolific author, Episcopal priest, Eric Law. Eric taught us how we as a missional church move from money to blessings. And every time he started his, teachings, he will start singing and saying, count your blessings. Brothers and sisters, count your blessings. And sometimes we forget to do that. And so when he was teaching us about counting our blessings, he introduced six concepts of stewardship as currencies. The currency of time and place. The gracious currency of gracious leadership. The currency of relationships. The currency of truth. The currency of wellness and money. And he was making all these connections. How do we as a church ask for money without having a relationship? I appreciated Eric's teaching in talking about the currency of relationship, because a good steward begins developing internal and external networks of mutual respect with leaders and members in the church. This young Jewish girl was able to make that connection for Naaman. She was not timid about sharing the story of her powerful healing God. Just telling the story about how wonderful it is, our God. Telling the story what God has done in our lives. For those of us living in this country, we see how divided it is about immigrants, about refugees, about this, about that. Why can't we live together and share God's love with one another? And I said, we need one another. I need all of you as my partners in ministry. And I know that we need each other because we are the body of Christ. In the whole story, it is connected in the role of this young woman that play a very important role telling the story and saying to Naaman, go to that prophet, just go. And Naaman used her words to ask permission to go and seek that prophet. The king, the commander of the army, took that advice, that suggestion, and the king gave Naaman an official letter to see the king of Israel. One little voice can make such a huge change. This might have taught, you know, how this great prophet must be working in this king's court, but he wasn't. The king of Israel was taken aback when he received the letter. How is this even possible, he said. Or is this an excuse for the Syrian to start a war for failing to heal their commander? The plan almost take fire until Elisha, in the outburst of the message, the king says, how are we going to do this? And I think we can do it. Eric's loss in making that connection and the relationships, that's what we need. As leaders in the church, sometimes we fail to recognize the gift of others, to welcome that diversity of gifts that all of us bring to the table and the church. And again, we see the providence of God, how God works in every step of the story to make this encounter possible. Naaman was redirected to see the prophet. It was not only a test, but it was a test, a faith test. But it was unacceptable for this man that it was so powerful. He wanted results now. But Naaman went and asked, and he didn't get it right away. Verses 5, 11, and 12 said, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on my name and of the Lord and his God. And he thought just by touching it, he will be healed and the spot and the leprosy will be gone. But instead, he was sent to the river to be immersed 7 times. Naaman had certain expectations. He had already written God's script for him. This is what you should do and how you should do it. It sounds familiar because very often when we pray for something, we want results now. We want to tell how to do it. We want to help ourselves to do that. God, this way, not that way. Not this time, it's my time. No, it is God's time. It would be much easier for Naaman to go and wash in his own comfortable home instead of going and deep 7 times. His servants stepped in and talked to Naaman and says, why can't you do it? Come on, boss, let's just do it. Wash and be clean. This instruction carries it with this promise. Elijah did not say, you go and wash at the Jordan and let's see what happens. He said, wash and you will be cleaned. The challenge is how Naaman understood that call. And when we are in crisis and health in an issue that is out of our hands, we kind of lose it. By God's grace, Naaman did what he was told to do, and he was completely healed. His flesh was restored and became clean like of a young boy. Healing wasn't just physical. Naaman was transformed, a change that was spiritual, because sometimes the wound is not what needs to be healed. It's our hearts, our souls that needs to be transformed and changed. Naaman came back to thank Elijah. And in a short discourse, we see him addressing himself as your servant. No longer the proud commander with great accolades, but as a servant. And there we have Naaman confessing his faith to God. Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. On this World Communion Sunday, we remember those who suffer, because we remember our suffering Lord. We remember that our host Jesus Christ was violently taken from us. And so we come together in this wonderful table of the Lord. All of us, there is a place for all of us, regarding our color, our race, our language. The table is prepared for all. And we celebrate the joy of companions in the journey, companions that will not abandon us when we are ill like Naaman. We also remember and hope for that heavenly banquet when no one will be forgotten or discriminated because of culture, because of language, or creed. So today, as we celebrate World Communion, if you find anybody that is not like you, someone stranger, go and greet, say hello. My name is, we are children of God, the word of the Lord.